Good evening.
Good evening.
As usual, I have good news. You are not sinful by nature. The reason why I bring that up, I was on Jefferson and Crenshaw on Sunday. And there was a great big church there. There's several, by the way, and they tell me they all belong to the same organization. They own blocks there. And the theme for the day was the sinfulness of man. And they are able to fill three churches and own all this property. You see, when you teach somebody that they're sinful, you can fill a church, you can fill a hall, and you can buy property. Because people would much rather hear that they're sinful than that they're divine and that they're perfect. Why that is, I don't know. Before I was thrown out of the Peachtree Baptist Church in Georgia, there was a minister there. Al Kraft was his name. He gave one sermon after the other on how horrible human beings were, how sinful everybody was. One day he gave a marvelous sermon. After the church, I went up to him and I said, "That was the best sermon you have ever given. Why don't you give more like that?" He looked at me and he said, "Dallas, the congregation would never put up with it. They do not want to hear good news. They are so used to hearing bad news, they are so used to living under the idea that you're sinful, that they want to continually hear that and prove that to themselves. I am here to tell you that you are not by nature sinful, that this whole teaching is based on the premise, perfect God, perfect man. And that's where you must start in your own thinking. That it's always perfect God and perfect man. We as human beings were not just thrown together, slapped together. We were put together by a divine plan, a divine intelligence that does not make mistakes and certainly does not program its creation to be sinful. That's an impossibility. The Creator and the creation are one in the same thing. Are one in the same thing. You cannot imagine God being sinful. So why would you, want to think for one moment that you're sinful? You cannot do that to yourself. So if you're thinking about yourself right now in that way, give that idea up. That's an out and out lie. And it's told by many brand-name churches constantly. And it's nothing but a bunch of twaddle. And they constantly do that to people. Don't allow that to happen to you. Know that you are perfect as God is perfect. Because as in heaven, so on earth. It always must be that way. Now, many things happen here and the world would like to convince you that it is human nature to be sinful. That is not true. Of course, yes, we can prove it now because so many people have bought into it that now they make it true. But it is not true. It is not so. So start your day with knowing that you are perfect, that you are whole, that you are complete. How many people here wake up in the morning and say, well, I think I'll sin today? Yes. Because that's a Baptist holdout over there. He grew up in that. Don't do that to yourself. You're not here to be sinful. You're here to practice the presence of God. That's what life is all about. Learning to practice the presence of God and to see God everywhere and in everything. You asked what you could do for demonstrations and so forth last week. One of the things to learn is to practice the presence of God. Then you can make a demonstration. But you have to do that for yourself. The other thing, if you want a demonstration, is to start noticing what you have already manifested in your life. Because everything that's in your life, you have manifested. Everything. It didn't happen by chance. You thought about it. You prayed about it. You treated for it. And it's in your life. But so many times, we forget that we wanted that. And it may be with us sometimes for a year or more till we say, oh my goodness, now I remember. I always wanted that. I always wanted that. When I was living in Atlanta, Georgia, I made a statement that I would like to have original artwork on all my walls. A year later, I looked around my apartment, and the walls were covered with original artwork. I knew a lot of artists. They kept giving me their paintings. But it took me almost a year to recognize that that was a demonstration, that I had demonstrated what I wanted. And each and every one of you, I'm sure, does the same thing. You wanted to know, but didn't you demonstrate $20,000 and pay off your bills? Mm-hmm. Didn't you want a truck? You drive a truck today? Yeah. Isn't it a big truck? His third truck. And then he says, how do we demonstrate? How do we manifest? You have to be diligent, and you have to pay attention, and you have to see, my goodness, this is in my life. Many times what we do is we discount things. Oh, well, I'd have gotten that anyway. Oh, well, they gave it to me. Oh, well, this happened. Oh, well, that happened. Don't discount anything that comes into your life. Immediately know that you manifested that. And then you'll manifest more. You see, you're using what's called the law of cause and effect. The law of cause and effect is always in operation. It doesn't stop because you stop. It continues. And it's an immutable law of the universe. It cannot be changed. So you have to know that. And you have to say, oh, I'm using that law. oh, I'm going to make this happen today. I'm going to have this today. I'm going to have this. And then it comes into your life. People get discouraged because it didn't come fast enough. Everything is always in divine right timing. And all miracles and all healings are instantaneous at the moment of belief. So we're always working with our belief system so that we can believe. Remember, God does not ask you to try harder. God asks you to believe more. It's done with belief. It's done with belief. At the end, we do use a little tagline which says, to the best of all those concerned. Now, you have to realize that when you're making a treatment and you want something, it's always going to be to the best of all those concerned. So you have to know in your mind that the mechanism called the universe, called the law of cause and effect, is operating on that right here and right now. But all the knobs have to be turned correctly. Everything in the universe, has to be choreographed. It has to be choreographed so that you get your demonstration without taking anything from anybody else. Because the universe doesn't do that. It never takes from one person to give to somebody else, or takes from here to give to there. But it always works for the best of all those concerned, so that everybody gets what they want. That everybody gets what they want. And when you make a demonstration, you have to release that. And you have to release any strings that you have. Remember, ways and means. You just release that. And you let the law do its work. It knows exactly how to operate. It knows exactly what to do. You don't have to look at it again. You don't have to do anything again. You have to believe that all the knobs are being turned. And then you'll make a demonstration. That's how you make a demonstration. And how you live your life is always practicing the presence of God. Seeing God in everybody. Knowing that everybody's God. And no one has more God than anybody else. You know, that's like spirit. People want more spirit. Well, you're not going to get it. You have everything you need. You're already whole, complete, and perfect. And there's absolutely no sin whatsoever. None. Don't let your mind do that to you. Don't allow other people to do that to you. You have to convince your own mind, using Wesley's famous thing that he likes, by Mary Baker Eddy. You must argue with your mind like a lawyer in front of a judge, and you must always make sure that you win. You must always win. But you allow your mind to talk you out of things. You allow other people to talk you out of things. Don't let that happen to you. Okay? So, the good news is you are not sinful by nature. Now, we'll do a spiritual mind treatment. When I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. I'll do it in the first person, and all those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. And here's what I know, believe, and accept for myself. I know that the universe is absolutely abundant and prosperous. And I know that I am part of that abundance and part of that prosperity. And I can claim my share of that because I know that I have a share. I have an account which nobody else has. And I can take all that I want without ever diminishing anybody else. So I now claim my full share of prosperity and abundance, including money. And I allow rich ideas to come through my mind, prosperous ideas, abundant ideas, ideas that produce money. And I see money, prosperity, and abundance everywhere I look. And I let that be so, and so it is. For weeks now, I've carried these cards. And I usually read them at the end of the class. But I get to babbling, and we don't get to read the cards. So we're going to read the cards first, and then I'll babble. Returning the favor to the universe is a wonderful way to look upon the good we do for others. It also recognizes how aware the universe is of the details of our lives. You see, this universe is very sensitive to what we're doing, to what we're thinking. It's not as though there are big eyes in the sky, but the universe knows. It knows through your feelings. It knows what you're doing. It knows what you're giving. It sounds like Santa Claus or something. But the universe recognizes each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. Heaven gives you your chances to see how much of your spirit remains imprisoned by yesterday's choices and consequences. Heaven gives you chances to see how much of your spirit remains imprisoned by yesterday's choices and consequences. Yesterday is gone. Do not allow it to come into the now, into the present, because it imprisons you every time you do that. And if you want to demonstrate, you can only demonstrate in the now. All power in the universe is concentrated in the now. Always right here, right now. Not yesterday or tomorrow. Our universe has an impersonal design. And an invisible divine energy. But it intimately connects all the souls within it. You see, it cannot show favorites. God does not show favorites. But you are absolutely held in an intimate contact with your Creator. With your Creator. This is the other thing to remember when you're demonstrating. When you give a treatment, you have to know that you're one with God. You have to know that you're one with the universe. And you have to know that the universe and this thing we call God never holds anything back from you. It doesn't matter what you're asking for. It could be the biggest thing, the most outrageous thing. It could be ridiculous. But you have to know that God wants to give it to you. You have to know that when you do a treatment. That's the power of the treatment. That's the power of your mind. Your mind is connected with the only mind there is, the mind of God. And each and every one of us lives, moves, and has our being in the mind of God. There is no other mind. Some people would like to think so. And I've seen some people trying to use a different mind. But there is only one mind. When we release our needs and prayers to the universe without strings attached, the heavens take care of coordinating the outcome. You have to allow the universe to coordinate the outcome for you. It's too big of a job for you to do. Why do you want to mess with that? Why do you want to get upset? Why do you want to stress yourself out when you have a wonderful power that can do it for you and never get stressed out? Knows exactly how to do it. Knows exactly how to do it. I've often told you this. Spirit can do for you what you cannot do. It can find your right place and put you in it. You cannot do that yourself, people. You cannot do that yourself. But this thing called God, called Spirit, called the universe, can do it for you. Why wouldn't you take advantage of that? If you had a great friend who had all the money in the world, always wanted to give you something, wouldn't you go knocking on that door? Knock, knock, knock. May I have this, please? Why, sure you can, Dallas. Take as much as you want. There's the universe. There's God. Your best friend. Load. With money. Loaded with prosperity. Loaded with abundance. Loves to give it away. So take it. And say more, please. Say more, please. And you'll get more. You'll get more. Does anyone remember the story of the jade tree that somebody popped in and gave to me? Haha, I now have three. Things multiply. Things multiply. You have to see everything multiplying for you. That's what the universe does. It multiplies. There's no such thing as one something. Multiplies. I pray that I may become a more suitable channel through which God can express his divine attributes. So how do you do that? You just sit down and start doing that, opening yourself up, and know that you're a conduit. Know that you're a channel for this thing that we call God, this thing that we call the universe, call it cosmic energy, call it whatever you want, but open yourself to it so it will come into your life. You see, and it will. It's already in your life. You don't think for one moment that you're moving on your own, do you? I don't think so. Spiritual man is perfect, but his individual use of life and law enables him to cover a perfect idea with an apparently imperfect coat. You see, we're the ones who see imperfection. And we cover our perfect self with that. How many people remember Marianne Williamson saying? Which is what? Does anyone remember? Maybe I can bring it up. We are not afraid of something. No, it's not failure. But we are... Yes, well, we are, but we are more afraid of how powerful we are than how weak we are. But we run around pretending we're weak all the time, because if we unleashed the power that we had within us, we would be awesome. Now, why don't we want to be awesome? Quite frankly, I'd like it. You know? What responsibility? I never understand responsibility. Responsibility for what? What are you going to do? Misuse it? Zap somebody? You know?
Be burdened by it.
Be
That's
burdened.
The notion. Right?
Oh, is that the notion? Well, bring it on. I'll take it. I know that the power of God is dynamic and changes our challenges into new good for me now. We're always changing. And we're always moving from our good to our greater good. We're always moving from glory to greater glory. You have to remember that. And you have to give up the old. You have to give up the old. And you're always going to keep moving forward. Just look at your life and see for yourself how you have moved through life. And hasn't it gotten better and better? Please say yes.
Oh, yeah. You're asking me.
It has to get better. You know, why would anyone want to live knowing their life is getting worse and worse? Well, I see people do that, don't you? They think, oh, yes, my life's getting worse and worse. I mean, that's ridiculous. They're all in that church where they talk about where they talk about sin. It is possible to achieve the freedom to have any viewpoint you choose, and therefore any reality. It's your viewpoint on life that's causing your reality. We do not see with the eyes, people. We see with the mind. Don't allow the eyes to convince you of anything. Don't allow any of the five senses. We have five senses that we use. The five senses will tell you a story, but they do not tell the whole story. They will never tell you the whole story. You must go to your sixth sense, which is intuition. And you must intuit what life is. But don't use your five senses to do that, because it will not give you the whole picture. It won't do it. They're very nice to have, but they lie to you constantly. So you have to watch out for those things. My subconscious mind knows the answer. It is responding to me now. I give thanks because I know that the infinite intelligence of my subconscious knows all things and is revealing the perfect answer to me now. My real conviction is now setting free the majesty and the glory of my subconscious mind. Isn't that wonderful? This is what you have to remember. You can do this. I'll get cards printed for you.
What's there in the back of that?
Oh, I rejoice that it is so. I must have written it. Sometimes I run out, thank you. My 3x5 cards, you see. Because I write big. I can meet my obligation. I can meet my obligations. I am shown how now. Wonderful little, I don't know what, I must have written that one day. I can meet my obligations. I am shown how now. Wonderful affirmation for you. Wonderful affirmation for everybody. Know that you can meet your obligations. Know that your obligations are always being met. Why? Because you have a friend that's very wealthy. And you have to start knocking on that door and say, more, please. So, before I get into tonight's lesson, does anyone have a question about how to demonstrate, how to use this teaching to bring something into their life? Yes.
Could you talk more about that? I mean, could you...
Well, that's not a question.
I mean, I don't really know how to do it.
You don't know how to do it?
A demonstration.
You don't know how to do a demonstration. All right, first thing you have to know that you're one with God. You have to do unity every time. You have to know that. So if you know that you're one with God... And you know that God is always for you, that nothing can be against you, then you start your affirmation or you start your treatment. This is exactly what I want, and I want it now. And I know that it is on my way, on its way to me, right here and right now, that every knob in the universe is being turned, that I am being denied nothing. I know that I am whole, complete, and perfect. I realize that I am lovable, worthy, and deserving. I am a wonderful human being, and there's absolutely no reason why I cannot have this. And I let that be so, and so it is. You have to talk yourself into it. And you have to remember that you're talking to a power that has the power to give you anything that you want, that can do anything that you want. In God are all possibilities. Everything is in the mind of God. Everything that you want is already there. God doesn't have to scurry around to the far corners of the universe saying, oh, now I need that little piece over there. No. It's already done for you. Everything you want is already done. You just have to see it. Yes, Carol. How's your new job?
It's just fine, thank you. Very challenging, but I can meet all my obligations. Thank you very much. I still have a lot of doubt, but I can meet all my obligations.
Yes. Well, feel the fear and do it anyway. And know that everyone has a doubt. And what do you say in a case like that? I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Everyone is going to have a teeny weeny bit of unbelief. But how much faith does it take to move a mountain?
Mustard seed.
Thank you. The faith of a mustard seed is all you need. Why everyone thinks they need so much to get something is beyond me. When you a little mustard seed, that's all you need. Help me with my I believe, but help me with my unbelief.
So that ties into what I raised my hand for. I'm going to make a demonstration. Because the gift that I'm going to be concerned with the following. I'm not sure I know what to ask for.
Oh, well.
What I ask for might not be best for me.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to disappoint the class.
You've been perfect at manifesting that.
Very good.
Just change your focus.
I need to get it out because it's lingering.
Listen, you cannot sit there and say, all that I am is God and I'm not all that God is, and then say, I'm going to bring something into my life that's not good for me. That's an impossibility. And if you did bring something into your life that you didn't like, all you say is, whoops, I made a mistake. Now I'm going to make something else. Now I'm going to manifest something else. The nicest thing about this teaching is, people, it's completely different now. Get this, please. Completely different than that church down there on Jefferson, which tells you if you make a mistake, you have to live with it the rest of your life. How many people have grown up with the idea that you made your bed, now you must lie in it? That's complete race mind, complete idiotic thinking, absolute twaddle. That's not true. In this teaching, you demonstrate something. You look at it. You say, look, look what I've done. You step right past it and demonstrate something else. It does not matter. In this teaching, you never have to live with what you've done. That's the freedom. That's what sets you free. That's what sets this teaching ahead of all the other ones. You're not stuck. Why aren't you stuck? Because this thing that we call God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. You are not sinful. You made a mistake. You didn't make the bed right. Shake the covers and make it again. That's all. And you don't have to live with it. And God doesn't say, ah, ha, 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 look what you've done. No. You say, oops, I made a mistake. And you demonstrate something else. more people are afraid to demonstrate something because it might not be what they want, or it might not be what God wants for them. God wants for you what you want for yourself. God doesn't say, oh, Carol has to demonstrate this and this. No, you are free to demonstrate what you want. If you don't like it after it gains flesh and dwells among us, you don't have to keep it, Carol. You don't have to keep it. Give it to somebody else. They'll want it.
Okay, you've heard me talk a lot about selling the artwork. I'm starting to sell the artwork, but I'm selling it for very cheap. I think, you know, a couple hundred dollars is better than no dollars at all. So how can I demonstrate? I know. I mean,
well,
I'm
first of all,
going, I don't know.
First of all, you must get out of your consciousness the word cheap. We never use the word cheap. Something can be inexpensive, but it cannot be cheap. You must gain more confidence in yourself and in the art that you're selling. Know that people want that art. Load that art up with all the love you can and allow it to attract people to it. But you, at least, are coming up a notch from not selling anything.
Definitely up a notch.
Yes. So, bring it up more. Just keep bringing it up. Remember, we have to stretch our consciousness. We're always stretching our consciousness. So now stretch your consciousness. If you can get $200 for it, try $400, $600, $800, till you get what you want. But stretch it. But be thankful that you're making a demonstration and the money is coming into you. And then don't say, but it's only $200. $200. Oof, I'll take it. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
And more, please. And bigger amounts. And each and every day you say, people love this art. They can't get enough of this art. I see this art everywhere. I see it hanging in every museum in the world. You have to keep doing that, and you have to keep seeing that. Visualization is another tool for demonstrating. It's a tool. But you have to see that, do that. Did your question get answered, Carol?
Yes, thank you.
Learn to love yourself.
If you want something, you know, you know the thing that happened to me 2 weeks ago. And one of the lessons that I learned from it was that, and it just hit me the other day, because I don't want to be there anymore. I want to get out of there. And I want to leave there. And I want to, because I feel I've outgrown it. But I learned that what I was really demonstrating was my attachment to being there, as opposed to my demonstrating not being there and growing and prospering, you know? And so it's kind of a question, it's kind of not. So we're if we're not getting what we want, then we're demonstrating what we don't.
All right. What you said to me and what I heard was this. You were living in a place that you didn't want to live in, that you wanted to move out of, but you did not have the courage to move out of that place because apparently you felt attached to that place, or you felt that you did not have enough money to move. So the universe sent you that experience so that you have to move. Many times the universe will send you a 2x4 and hit you on the head with it, and you were hit in the head with a 2x4. So you see, you did make a demonstration.
Yes. So that's kind of my question.
Did it get answered?
I just interrupted you.
So you made your demonstration. It so just didn't come in the way you wanted it to come.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
Remember, you must release those things without strings attached, and you must look around. God works in strange and mysterious ways, but God is always working. You're always going to get what you want. It may not come the way you expected it. That's the attachment that you must give up in life, that you know how it's going to come to you. The fun, the mystery, is to see it magically happen. But many people like you, that happened to you because you needed to move. Many people want a new job, but they're afraid to leave their job. They treat for a new job, and then they come to me and say, guess what, Dallas, I've been fired. Well, of course you were fired. No. I mean, I can't understand how they can get so upset over being fired. They wanted a new job, but they were afraid to leave their job. To the universe, how's it going to give you another job? It's going to fire you first, and now you're going to get a new job. But you have to know that. I mean, it's just logical. Remember, it's choreographing. Everything is being choreographed for you. But
everybody you know that's been fired from a job was just weeks before complaining to you about that job.
Yes. They're always complaining about the job, and they get fired, and then they go, oh my, go away to work. Instead of immediately saying, isn't that wonderful? I got fired, and I am just absolutely delighted that I got fired because now I am free, and I know I'm always moving from my good to my greater good, and I know that I'm always moving from glory to greater glory, and the job is right around here, and I got a new job. You know, there's no sense to be out of work.
So what's the, how do you avoid the 2x4? Is that what we, that's probably what everybody's wondering out here.
Do you know the answer to that?
I want to see if I know the answer.
Oh, okay.
Because I was hit by 2x4 recently.
You're going to be graded.
Well, I'm expecting an A.
Well, we'll see about that.
You have to expect it. And I believe the reason I got hit by the 2x4 was because I was manifesting an incomplete desire. I had only desired to get out of the situation. I had not yet desired the solution for the next better situation. Mm-hmm. How did I do it?
You did fine. But it's a B, hey. B plus. No, that's what we do many times, you see. And the 2x4 hits us before we're ready for the next step because you have it. When you do, when you want to manifest something, you have to start with, this is exactly what I want. This is exactly what I wanted. You do that. Now that's, many people when I say that have read a book that says, oh, you shouldn't outline, that's outlining. Well, it's not outlining and they're wrong. Outlining means I want a new home and it must be on Green Street, it must be number 221. That's outlining. Exactly what I want. I want a home that's warm and comfortable and has a view, it has this and has that. That's not outlining. That's being specific. And you must be specific. You know? Many people try to manifest mates and they always leave something out. And they get very close. And then they discover, whoops. If you want to manifest a mate, you better have it all down on paper. Or you're going to get the wrong one. Does that help you? Now, I'm glad you brought that up because I want you to help me manifest something. And we're going to ask the class on this also. Next week will be my last week here. I'll be away on vacation. But I will return a better person. But why I'm gone for a month, it will give this organization, the police force, a wonderful opportunity to put a new carpet in here. So could everyone see a new carpet in here? Does the room need a new carpet?
Absolutely.
So let's think new carpet. And let's know that it's going to be laid while I'm away, so that when I return in late December, I made that up, that we'll have a new carpet. So use that as a practice for yourself. Now, when you get everyone thinking that, it's called a mastermind. Because the more minds you can get asking for the same thing, the more powerful you are. That's why when you're manifesting something, either keep it to yourself or only tell it to somebody that's going to bolster it for you and not tear it down. You know, I never tell anyone what I'm up to until it happens, because I don't want anyone ever to say, oh, that's impossible. You don't want that in your life. But we are powerful enough to get a new carpet in this room. And you get that by knowing that you can have it and by visualizing and seeing it.
And let's get those lights fixed too.
Let's do one thing at a time.
More please, that's all.
Yes, it's more please. But remember, you have to stretch your consciousness. And you, if you work on one thing at a time, and you manifest that, now you can go to the next thing. Because it builds your faith in things. It builds your power in things. That's the problem. People want prosperity, and they sit down and treat for $1 million. Well, people, it's not going to happen. Because your prosperity consciousness cannot handle $1 million dropped in your lap all at once. Once you stretch your consciousness, then you can do it. But you have to stretch your consciousness a little at a time so that you can do it. Remember, from the Ford to the Lincoln to the Mercedes, to the Rolls Royce. You have to build that. Anyone that rushes out of here and thinks, well, I'm going to get a Rolls Royce, and they rush out and they buy a Rolls Royce, I will tell you this. In 1 week's time, they will have an accident with that car. That car will be smashed in some way. Why? Because their consciousness cannot accept it. They cannot accept it. They do not believe they deserve it. They do not believe that they are worthy. They do not believe that they're lovable. But they rush out and they buy that thinking that they're going to become those three things. But they're not. How many people do you know that buy a new car and immediately have an accident with the new car?
Yes.
Did you do it? Because you didn't feel worthy of that car.
Or the day you pay it off. Yeah. I had an accident the day I paid off the car.
There you go.
Actually, I was hit. I was just sitting there.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So I just attracted it right into the front of my car.
No, you have to stretch your consciousness with everything. So start with something and learn to demonstrate and learn to get that going. Then take full responsibility of that and say, geez, look how powerful I am. Look what I can do. And then move to the next thing. Okay? Tonight's talk, by the way, was called Be a Scientist with Your Life. And that's what you have to do. You have to start looking at this scientifically. You have to be a scientist and say, geez, I think I could manifest a new carpet. I think I could get a better job. I think I could get this role. And then start applying all the principles and start making it work for you. Because that's what we are. We're scientists with our own life. And we know now this thought produces that result. We know perfectly well to think negative is not going to do us any good, is it? It's not going to serve us in any way, shape, or form. But the ego mind would like to tell you, oh, hold on to that little grudge and so forth, and that person, you'll get back at that person. You're never going to get back at anybody, people. Give that idea up.
I have a question. If your consciousness expands,
yes,
and then you go through some experiences that makes it shrink again, do you have to build it up bit by bit, or can you go back to where you were?
I'm so glad you asked that. Because once the consciousness is stretched, it can never go back. It's not a rubber band, people. Once your consciousness is stretched, once you've heard a truth, can you go back? You can't take it back. You can't stretch your mind and let it go back. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Anybody else? Yeah.
So then there are people whose lives have gotten to a certain level and they suffer catastrophic setbacks. Is it because their consciousness wasn't expanded to that their life state was expanded artificially before the consciousness was there, and so
yes, many people reach high planes, but they haven't stretched their consciousness